Welcome back. Hi to the folks online. Yes, here we are.
Five.
Chodesh Tov. Next week. It's like, what kind of brand of chocolate is that?
Yummy. Oh,
Uh, next week we'll meet. Next week we'll have Shiur during the Nantog. But then, 2 weeks we won't have Shiur. So next week, yes, and then 2 weeks, no. And then after that, we'll see. Is it Tu B'Av? What day of week is Tu B'Av?
Wednesday, actually.
Oh.
Tuesday night.
Okay. But here we are on Daf Nun Hey Omid Aleph. There's
Skipping or?
no, I'm sorry, Memhe. Memhe Omid Aleph. What did I say? Nun Hey? No, Memhe Omid Aleph, 45A. There's a small section which we'll do, quickly, but we're not going to get lost in it. It is one of those things where you feel a blackboard would be useful. Anytime there's a sugya that involves Yibum, a blackboard would be useful. Itmar. Itmar, you see where we are? We're like, I don't know, eight lines down after two dots. Two dots is Itmar. Mate v'nafla lifnei achiv. So first of all, you remember what Itmar is?
It's a question.
No.
He said.
The word literally means it is stated, but it is an introduction to a machloket amoraim. I mentioned this, I think, 2 weeks ago.
He did.
And every time it's ever come up. Itmar always introduces a machloket amoraim. Mate v'nafla lifnei achiv. You need a little background. Rashi will fill you in. Rashi says, "Ze shekidsha shelo ladat aviha." You remember the case we were talking about? A girl accepts kiddushin when she's a ketana without her father's knowledge. So, if she accepts kiddushin and then the fellow drops dead before anything can happen, how do we view that? So depending upon how you view that kiddushin, if the kiddushin is meaningless, then what? Doesn't really matter. If the kiddushin has meaning, either in a serious manner or rabbinically out of some kind of suspicion that it might have some meaning, so then what's your situation? She needs yibum mochalitza. So mate, the husband dies, v'nafla, and her lot falls to before his brother, liyibum. Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav, mima'enet lima'amaro, ve'ena mima'enet lezikato. She can refuse. His ma'amar is the term of art for what do you call it? The act of kiddushin for yibum. That is when the yavam and the yavama, when he marries her, it's not called kiddushin, it's called ma'amar, for whatever reason. What's the reason, David?
That what?
That it's called ma'amar?
I mean, it's a verbal act, I assume, but I don't know.
Oh, interesting. It's a verbal act. Could be. I assumed you'd have an answer up your sleeve. Rashi says, "Mima enet lema'amara, tzricha mi'un im get hamutal aleha, im asaba ma'amar. Oto ha'get matzricha liot imo mi'un." In other words, it's not enough. It's not enough for her to be divorced. She needs to do this act of mi'un.
Mi'un is the second bit of where
Is
she
the
sort of didn't, says, I didn't really. I really like this
Yeah,
guy.
I didn't know. I don't want to be there because you know what happened. She accepted kiddushin from the brother. Now, this relationship that formed with the yavam is a relationship that comes about. In other words, she could have gotten out of the marriage to the dead brother through mi'un because she's a ketana. This refusal, this objection, right? Now she ends up with the brother. She didn't want the brother. Right, that's just like a regular case of chalitza, right?
In that case, it's a little bit more intense.
can do. No, it doesn't mean.
Say that.
Yeah.
That's the act of refusal.
Yeah.
There wouldn't be any thought that a Mara can't.
Right. Okay. Kate said, "Asab ma'ama tzricha get v'tzricha chalitza v'tzricha miun tzricha get." Why does she need a get? Shemen itratza ha'av b'kiddushay sheni. So what happens here? It's combining the cases. So she ends up now pitom connected to zika. Zika is the word for the connection that the widow has to her brother-in-law. It's the moment that her husband dies childless, a bond is formed with the brother. Right? It's almost like a marital bond.
Right.
In other words, and therefore she can't. That's why chalitza is almost a kind of get. It's almost a kind of divorce, right? Because this bond is created automatically with the death of the husband brother. So she needs a get. Why does she need a get? Because she had been married to the brother, right?
He's dead.
She had been married. That's why I use the past tense verb. She had been married to the brother. The minute the brother dies, right, the zika is conferred with the new brother, who now is mekadesh her through yibum. So, but she's still a ketana. So that maybe the so why does she need a get? Because maybe the father was nitratze. There's the whole thing. The whole thing shouldn't exist.
We get first.
From the no, she can't get it from the first.
So he's dead.
The first. Right, no, I'm saying, but like, what's the?
Right, so what does it mean? Let's say, who's he? Let's say for?
But maybe the father says, "Oh, I don't mind if she's married to the second guy."
Mm-hmm.
Right. So
we say the father wasn't around. If the brother's doing it, this is what she did herself.
No, what brother? This is the brother of the dead guy.
No. You're saying that it was. This is if it's a question of miyun, then the father is not. This is not a regular case of a father marrying off his daughter. It's a case where a father is not marrying off his daughter. Right? If you started
to she did herself.
Okay. Her brother.
This was the case where she did it herself. Right? Yeah, yeah.
Her brother
yeah,
did.
When she, on her own volition, married the first brother, who died, she is sort of like attached to the surviving brother.
Right.
Voluntarily.
Right.
Which is why basically we treat that as exactly the same as we would have treated the original brother.
Right.
And if the father said, yeah, I'm fine with her being married to the second brother, it's as the same force.
Right.
As it would if he said the same thing about the original brother.
Right.
The deceased brother.
Right.
Ergo, get.
Correct. Okay, now I'm going to skip ahead. You see, it's five lines from the bottom. The first lines are midivrei sofrim. Divrei sofrim, period. So now the Gemara has a new case.
Five lines from the bottom?
Five lines from the bottom. Hanhu beitrei. There are two fellows sitting around. Dahavu kashotu chamra tute tzife debovel. Two guys are sitting around drinking wine underneath the shady trees in Bavel, right? Rashi says, "Tute tzife tachat ilanei tzafzefa, shehu min arava." They're sitting beneath willow trees by the rivers of Babylon, right?
And these are where we sat down.
Where they sat down, but they're not weeping as we do this week al naharot Bavel. They're sitting down and they're sharing a glass of wine. Obviously, it wasn't during 9 days because they're drinking a glass of wine. And what do they say? Shakal chad minayhu kasa de chamra. One of them passes a cup of wine, yahav le lechavero, and gives it to his friend. Omar mikadshali baratich livari. I want you. It wants to make a shidduch.
What's not in my
your daughter to my son. Your daughter to my son. But it's not saying. It's not making a shidduch. Right? This is not Tevye and Lazer Wolf, right? This is an act of kiddushin, right? He says, "Hare bitcha mikudeshet libni be kos chamra ze."
One father can be accepted kiddushin, and then the other father cannot.
The two fathers are not just arranging a marriage; they're performing the act of kiddushin, as it were. They're performing the act of kiddushin for their.
But the son has a. We never discussed the son, the minor son, the father of any of our son.
What do you mean? We never discussed it. We discussed it the last time, 7 years ago, when we did Daf Yomi, when we learned this stuff last time.
Don't you remember?
Here we are. We're talking. Can so? What's the question? Pretend you haven't prepared ahead in Gemara.
How does a father of any of our son?
So we were talking about a father doing this for a daughter, right?
We never talked.
But what do you mean for a son? So did it say that these were two of the great Amoraim of Bavel?
Like
why does that matter?
It does.
It does, because if it's two of the great Amoraim, you presume they know what they're doing.
Oh, I see.
Who are these people? Stam Yidden, sitting around, drinking a glass of beer, drinking a glass of wine by the waters of Bavel.
You can say they're crazy.
What? Right? Not if they're crazy. They might just be ill-informed. What?
They might not be.
Or maybe there's something to this. Since none of you have prepared ahead, so let's keep our minds open.
Yeah, you skipped.
I didn't skip that much. So Omar Ravina. Ravina says, Afilu Lamanda Omar, Chayshinan Sheman Itratse Ha'av, even according to the opinion that we have just spent the last 2 weeks exploring, right? That the daughter can be married off. There is such a thing as kedusha ketana. A daughter can initiate her own thing, because if she does it, maybe the father will retroactively give his gushbanka and say, "Yeah, that's what I wanted." But nevertheless, turn the page 46a. Oh, wait a second, I have to open the page.
Irrelevant to this case, but okay.
45b. What's relevant to the case?
Is that relevant to this case? We're talking about the two fathers.
So Gemara is
involved.
So the Gemara says, but even though we said, even according to the opinion that says we're chashinan, we suspect that when the daughter, remember the case, the daughter accepts kiddushin on her own, which should be meaningless. But we say we have a suspicion that under certain circumstances, maybe the father was happy with this act. And therefore, retroactively, we say it had halachic meaning, even that opinion. And that is not a universal opinion.
Zaken Adav Shelo B'Fanav.
Because of Zaken Adav Shelo B'Fanav, right? So even that opinion, right? Nobody says, Shema Nitratze HaBen, Lo Amrinan. Nobody says the father can marry off the son, and maybe the afterwards, you know, you come home one day, you say, son,
you're married.
Mazel Tov. It's an Agdon story. Agdon story Tehillah, which is a beautiful story. She's 140. The story takes place in 1924, and she's 104 years old, and she's recalling when she was 11 years old. So a long time earlier. So she says, one night, my mother told me to go wash my face and put on my Shabbos clothes. And all of my father and my uncles and a few other men from shul came home. They opened a bottle of yash. They drank l'chaim. And my father introduces me to some man who I'd never seen. And he smiles at me and says, "Kenai Nahora, not an ugly child." And my father says to me, "You know who that is? That's your mechutin. Mazel tov. You are now a kala. You are engaged to his son. You're 11 years old. His son is 12 years old. In a year, he'll put on tefillin and be bar mitzvah, and you'll be bat mitzvah, and you'll be married." And that's how she found out that she was engaged. I told this to my daughters, years ago. I said, "This is the way it should work." They did not agree.
But then what happened?
In the event, what happened?
To her?
No, they got married, your daughters. To work out that way?
My daughters are still single, but one of them is only 11 years old. So
that's still sad.
So So here, you come home, you say to your son, Mazel Tov, not only did I find a shidduch for you, like the good old days, but I already acted on your behalf and affected kiddushin. Not only are you like, not only do you have a kala, you have a wife. So we never say, so if the husband, if the boy says, well, how do they say?
No,
please make her pretty, right? Or the gentle, see that she's pretty, right? No. No, they're not. Because the shidduch is not this.
Right. Still,
what do the boys say to Yentl?
They don't say anything. I'm here, they picked up.
Right from me, I hope she's pretty, right? So Sheso say, he says, wonderful, right? So even if the son says wonderful, nobody says that the father's act had any halachic meaning. So what were these fellows doing on the banks of the river? It's Lomi Omrile Rabbanon LeRavina. So Ravina says it's meaningless. But the Chachamim say to him, V'dilma Shaliach Shaveh. No, but maybe the son had appointed the father his Shaliach. Maybe that's what was going on.
Can't put it.
What? Who said he's a katan? No, I didn't say. You said I didn't say.
We were both on. We're mad, David, because I know I'm that person.
I am the person, but I guess
who said it was a katan? What?
Well, it doesn't even say she's a katana.
It doesn't even say she's a katana. No. You see, Rashi, the first Rashi, Shemin etratzei ben bekidushin shekidesh lo haav shalom midato. Maybe after retroactively, the son, they say, you know, we married you off to the daughter, the beautiful daughter of the rich man. The son says, whoop-dee-doo, right? Right? So he's happy with it. So we don't say, shlo yitmidat lo amrinan av bikidushe bito becholdehu nichale, the tavlamate of tandu. So maybe there's a havamina by the daughter. Right, by the daughter, because of this tavlamit, right? Aval gavra dayek venosiv uven eno b'reshut aviv. So first of all, you can say we have this chazaka, which again is, we said this at the, I think the very first year a long time ago, which is problematic by our point of view, admittedly. But that this idea that a woman, all things being equal, is always happy to be married. So if the father says, I found a husband for you, Mistama, she's happy to be married. But that's not true for the son. That principle which can be relied on as a kind of halachic or psychological chazakah, does not exist. And on the contrary, the boys want to see what the girls look like. They don't say that they're prepared to marry just anybody. And as a matter of fact, there's a halacha that you can't be Makadesh without having first seen the woman. And on top of that, the son is not Birshut Aviv for these matters. The father has certain rights over his minor daughter, but not over his son, not over his minor son, and certainly not over his adult child.
Looking at the halachic significance, and I say, if the son then agreed, retroactively, we could say that it has something against him. But as on its face, the son's
agreement. Right, but in other words, even if the son agrees,
the son will still need to do a kiddushin.
There would still have to be an act of kiddushin.
Right. It's not kiddushin.
So the father's act was meaningless as well.
The father's act is meaningless. Doesn't that even fill it with regard to the daughter's father's act? In other words, since they went into it thinking we're doing a marriage here, but they weren't because the boy's father couldn't be acting this way.
Because the whole thing is meaningless.
All right, so the whole thing is shot.
Well, it's not even clear that the girl also might be not a katana in this particular case. We don't know.
And there's no reason to assume that the children here are katanim. Right? Could be the daughter. In other words, the daughter could be a katana below bat mitzvah age. It could be she's not, but there's no, in other words, unless she's a katana, so how does the father do it?
Although you've mentioned Rocky Porter and that cloud, so that means, is there a halamina with an adult woman, you know, over 12, that you could marry her?
She would have to agree to it. In other words, if
it would be different. In other words,
with a ketana, with a minor daughter, if the father arranges the marriage, she's married. With an adult daughter, he can't arrange
the... So what is the principle of the Talmud?
No, it's a havamina. This havamina, that's right. So Amar Lei Rabbanan the Ravina, Dilma Shaliach Shave? No, so but maybe the son had appointed, maybe the story, maybe we don't have all the details when they were sitting. Maybe the son had appointed the father as his Shaliach. So the Gemara says that can't be. Why? Lo chatzif inish l'shave l'avu ha-shaliach. A person isn't chutzpedik to make his father his own Shaliach. The Gemara seems to think that it's not a respectful thing to make your father your messenger boy.
For something like this.
Well, I don't know.
The father would be pretty happy to do it.
It could be that the father's missionary
here. We've all made weddings. We've all made weddings. I don't know about the folks online. I know many of you, some of you have married off children. You marry off a child. You're nothing but a shaliach. I mean, not a shaliach for the kiddushin, but a shaliach for everything else.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Naomi, say that again.
What about Eliezer and Avraham? I mean, Yitzchak.
Well, Eliezer was an Avraham appointed by... Eliezer was a shaliach appointed by Avraham on behalf of Yitzchak, not to be mechadesh her, but to be what we call the shadchan, to gentle the matchmaker, to find a girl and say, come back with me, and then, right? And as it wasn't, here we're talking about kiddushin. Naomi, welcome to the shir. I don't recall if you've been here much in the past, but the case we're talking about is, in a normal case, a husband and a wife stand under the chuppah. Now, a husband, the man, gives the ring to the woman and says, you are my wife, Hayat Mekudeshet Li. And by accepting the ring, she becomes his wife. The case we're talking about is the two people, the bride and groom, are not together. And the husband sends a shaliach, a messenger, to deliver the ring, not just to make the match, but to actually perform the act of kiddushin, which admittedly is not so romantic that they're not doing it in person, but that creates the, halachically, that creates the marriage. So go back to the Gemara. The Gemara says, no, it can't be that he had made the father shaliach, because the Gemara has this principle that it's not proper for someone, again, strange idea to us, but the Gemara has this principle that that you don't make your father your shaliach for these types of matters. So the Gemara then says, "Vidilma artsuye artse kame." So maybe nevertheless, ben kame aviv. Vigila lo darashi says, "Vigila lo daato shehu chafetzpa." So maybe retroactively, maybe the son had revealed his will. He didn't make his father a shaliach, but the father understood the will of his son. Right? The father knows his son is in love with this girl. Right? The father knows the son is chalishing to marry this girl. And one day he's sitting, I mean, in our parlance, we'd say that, well, in our parlance, of course, we're all Talmidei Chachamim, we're sitting in the Beis Medrash. But maybe, you know, they were sitting at the corner bar, or wherever they were sitting, drinking.
At the Kiddush Club.
At the Kiddush Club, right? And we're in the cafe, right? He's sitting with the father of this girl, and he says, hey, let's right now make the Kiddushin. So the son hadn't appointed him a shaliach, but the father certainly knew what his son's desires were. Maybe Artsuye Artsei, he expressed his ratzon. The son had expressed his deep passions and desires before his kame, before his father. So Omar Le Rabba Barshimi, Beferush, Omar Mar, Delo Savar Lohu de Ravu Shmuel. But Ravina, and as he reminds Ravina, that Ravina is on record on the previous daf, the Hahu Gavra de Kaddish Bekisha. No, I'm sorry. He doesn't think that this is in any way. He doesn't think that this is in any way meaningful, right? As he had disagreed with that opinion, that he had said, if you do this with your daughter, if the daughter does this, there's none of this retroactive saying, well, this is what I wanted, this is what I didn't want, right? So the whole thing should be meaningless. So now the Gemara says, how who gavra the kaddish bekisha diyarka bishuka. A guy sees a girl in the shuk. So you know our custom is that we're all makadesh with a ring, a simple ring. You know, though this was not always the case. Did any of you do a kiddushin with a ring that wasn't just a plain gold band?
Yes, I do. We were told in advance that you had to.
No, you had to. Is that your wedding ring?
No.
No, it's just a ring.
I mean, it's a ring that I wear, but it's not. Came way up.
You know, the Jewish custom now is you get married with a plain gold band, something like that. Because the value is very easy to determine. Right? In other words, the value is the cost of the weight of the gold, which is publicized every day on the internet, what an ounce of gold goes for.
Our days it was.
It was in the newspaper.
No,
but it was in the newspaper every day. It was reported, Walter Cronkite reported every night on the news. It was
mine
very
was platinum.
Platinum?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. But that's the minhag. But you know that anything that's shave pruta, that's worth some minimal, whatever the minimal amount of a pruta is, not a lot of money, right? Not a lot of money, you could be mekadesh, which is why if you have a ring that has anything that's like at all decorative, my wife had her eye on a particular ring, which was not a plain ring. So this was a concern for our Masada Kedushin. So he asked Rav Zalman Nechemya Goldberg, Zichrono Livracha, at the time. So Rav Zalman says, no problem. You just have to say that you're interested in being mekadesh. I don't know how much this ring costs. I mean, it happens that she did know exactly how much the ring cost. But the point is that even though like its value is a little flexible because you have to factor in the omanut into it, which is not a set thing that you can measure by some amount publicized in the newspaper, it doesn't matter. Is there at least a shove prut in there? Is there at least a couple shove prutas in there?
Yeah.
Sure. So you say, I don't care how much what it cost. I am interested in the fact that inside this ring, hidden in that ring, is at least this minimal bare value. And that's good enough. That's good enough for me. So we know that you could be mekadesh with anything. So a guy's in the shuk and he sees the girl of his dreams and he takes a cucumber. Is a cucumber a shove pruta?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The prices for sure.
Yeah. And today's prices, tomatoes now are very expensive, right? So he takes a cucumber, he takes a head of cabbage, and he says, Harayat mikudeshet li, with this head of cabbage in the shuk. So Omar, so what case is this? What case is this? Again, Rashi says, what's the case? Aguda v'ktana. No, it's like a bundle of parsley or something,
yeah.
Right? A small bundle of parsley. Shalola data viha. We're again talking about a ktana. We're talking about a ktana is sent to the shuk to do the marketing. She's 11 and a half years old, and her mother sends her to the marketplace to buy some vegetables. And while she's there, some gentleman. You know,
it's a very creepy gentleman.
Wait, a very creepy gentleman says to her, oh, Hariat Mikudeshitli with this.
First he calls over to Adim.
Oh, yeah, well, there's Adim and there's this. Hariat Mikudeshitli with this bundle of parsley or basil or whatever it is. Maybe it's asparagus, which is really like, you know, like it's a real Shavuot Pruta.
That's his.
But, so what's the case? So and it's the same case as before, right? where you say there is an opinion, and in this case, maybe the father thought it was okay retroactively. He's a good provider after all. She'll have a lot of vegetables to eat or something. So what's the case? So in that case, Omer Avinu, Afilu Lamanda Omer Choshishin Shemen Adratzaav, even the opinion that said in the normal abnormal case before that maybe retroactively the father agreed that she should be married to this guy. In this case, Hani Mili Derech Kavod. That's when the man was Makadesh the girl in a respectable manner.
Kavodik.
Aval Derech Bizoyon Lo. But if he does it in a disrespectful manner, so then no father would retroactively agree to such a thing.
It's interesting when you're giving these examples about the chutzpah of the son and the what the father would consider to be zayon. Are these setting halakhic principles, or are they just saying we don't think it's likely? But if for some reason is it like count because maybe it like you know this particular father didn't the son didn't care about the chutzpah and the father didn't care about the bizayon? Is that like a Or is this
just... I don't know. I think when we're talking about like when it's plausible to be choshesh, when it's plausible to think in this case, do we have to think maybe there was actually a maaseh kedushin?
No, in other words, if you had a situation where the father said, yeah, that's fine, or the son said, yeah, and the son was willing to point his father shaleach, does that override these general cases, or you say like we would say even if you say
no, because in other words, in the case that we saw earlier about the two men trying to marry off their kids, so nobody thinks that has halachic weight.
No, I'm saying if the son appoints his father as a shaliach, we say a son.
If a son does, that's a halacha in shlichus. It says the mistam, and here we don't know if the son appointed the father as a shaliach. Right. We don't know if the son appointed the father as a shaliach, but we think maybe there's a chashash the son had appointed him as a shaliach, so then maybe there is a maaseh kedushin. So no, the chazaka is that the son does not appoint his father as a shaliach.
And the
chazaka here is that no father would ever, right? So you don't even have to think. But, well, maybe
chazaka is basically an assumption, and. Because of evidence and or mores or whatever, and if you were to investigate,
it's
could say yes or no.
Yes, it's the question of well, we're soon going to get to the question of do you need witnesses to the appointment of the shaliach, etc. But in the absence, the question is how do we evaluate this in the absence of evidence, right? Do we suspect? We spoke a few weeks ago about like those cases that everyone's heard of. I don't know if anybody actually knows real people. Those cases you heard of at a Shabbaton or at a summer camp where, you know, there was a mock wedding and then some counselor who came back from yeshiva having learned Kedushin says, wait a second, maybe they're really married and you have to call up Rav Moshe. This, I said in the stories, it was always they called up Rav Moshe and Rav Moshe would get you off the hook.
Why can't they just ask the father?
The point is how do we evaluate it in the vacuum?
Well, I think why you do that in the vacuum. Why can't you look at father, are you okay with this? And if he's not okay,
do you have to stop with the vacuum?
So the Gemara says, in this case of being Makadesh, a girl with a head of lettuce in the shuk, right? So no father would retroactively.
We consider that an honorable way of getting
it. It's not an honorable way of doing it. Aval derech bizoyon. Look, if it's in this disrespectful way like this, there's no way we can imagine that's any halakhic meaning. So Omar le Rav Acha medifti le Ravina, bizoyon demai. What does it mean that this is a bizoyon? It's a disgrace when a man tries to be Makadesh, a girl, in the shuk with a head of lettuce. I bizoyon de shuka. What's the disgrace here? That he did it with a head of lettuce? Or that he did it in the shuk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have this idea that the shuk is not the most respectable place, right? The idea, like, what is it? It's a halacha. We're not always so careful about it. You know, the halacha says you're not supposed to like eat when you're walking down the street. you know, you're waiting for the bus. You didn't have time to have breakfast. You're waiting for the bus to get to work, and you're standing out there by the bus. You've got your cup of coffee, and you've got your but even and we even had for a while. We have this this coffee here in the front. We have this coffee to go place, right? You can they still do, but they used to have it was drive through. You could order and like you'd pull up, and they'd be waiting there with your coffee. So you stand there. You're standing there outside on the street corner, eating your muffin, eating your Danish, and having your cup of coffee. So the Gemara says, under most circumstances, it's not respectful, it's not respectable to eat like that. You should eat like your mother used to tell you. You should eat like a mensch. You should sit down proper. You shouldn't eat over the kitchen sink. Chazal thinks that the comportment, the manners that we have, you know, that we should live a kind of refined lifestyle. I'm not talking about fancy, right? I'm talking about refined, right? With mannerisms, you should eat like a mensch, right? It's the
most falafel joints at one table with one person.
Yes, I'm not sure the hechsher and the falafel joints where people stand eating above the garbage can, that the hechsher extends to the manner in which the food is always eaten. So Chazal, this idea of like you shouldn't eat like that. What is the expression for someone who does eat that way? The kelev ha'ochel b'shuk, right? You're standing there, walking down the street, eating your sandwich. You're eating your croissant or whatever it is. Chazal compare you to a dog eating in the marketplace. Now, I've been to Machane Yehuda on Fridays, and I must confess, sometimes I've eaten like a kelev, like a dog in the shuk. You get a little, you get a bite here, you get a bite there, you walk around, you eat your way through the shuk. They even have these tours where you go on these shuk tours, right? We once did one, you were there for my wife for her birthday on a Thursday night. You go to all the, my wife's a baker. So we did this shuk tour on Thursday nights. You go to all the famous Yerushalayim bakeries in the middle of the night because they're up all night baking the challahs for Shabbos. And you learn about the challahs. It was very interesting. So that idea of the shuk as like a place which is not the most respectable place in the world. I mean, if you're a balabosta and you have a shop in the shuk and you sell whatever you're selling, there's honor in earning your living in an honest manner, for sure. But the shuk itself is a place of hustle and bustle and commotion and a place where potentially you rub elbows with people you might not want to rub elbows with. So that's the idea of the shuk. So the Gemara asks, what is the source of the bizayon of this man performing the marital rite in the shuk? Is it that he did it with a head of lettuce, or is it that he did it in the shuk? So the Gemara asks, l'may nafkamina, what's the dis? So pretend you haven't read ahead of the Gemara. What's the nafkamina?
Well, what is the argument is what was used. And let's say she comes up with something worse.
She comes up from the shuk with a gold ring on her finger.
Not a gold, so they gold ring it. But let's say a basket full of food for a week.
Okay.
Okay. And you know, fruits and vegetables. That.
Or you're at the great synagogue, and he's Makadesh with a radish. Right, so that's the nafkimi. What's the problem here? So the Gemara says, nafkimina, the kaddish b'kaspa b'shuka. And as if he were to marry her with money or with a ring in the shuk. Oh, b'kisha the yarka b'veta. Or he marries her with a radish or a head of lettuce or a bundle of parsley in a proper home, in a proper place. So my, so what's the answer? So Omar lay, idi v'idi. Derech b'zayon, gamze v'gamze. They're both b'zayon. Oze. Right. The whole thing is a b'zayon. So even if he was makadisha with a ring in the shuk, or he was makadisha with a radish in the great synagogue, so either way, a father's going to say this is not the right man for my daughter. Right. So hahu de Omar. So another case, hahu de Omar lekriv ai, v'hi amra lekriv ei. The case is this. the parents can't agree who should marry their child, who should marry their daughter. The husband says, the father says, I want her to marry one of my, somebody from my side of the family. And the mother says, I want her to marry someone from my side of the family. And this is a family which is like, they're from like West Virginia or something. You know,
you don't need to be in halacha.
You know, I saw last night, I went at YU, they had this screening of this documentary about the Shomronim. You know, there's my friend from YU, Professor Stephen Fine, they produced a very interesting documentary about the Shomronim. You know, who live up in, like half the community lives in Shechem and half live in Falun. There's only about 800, 850 Shomronim left in the world. And because they're all so intermarried, they have this really weird, I guess it's a genetic fluke, they have a lot more boys than girls. They're very imbalanced. It doesn't come out 50-50 or 52-48. It's like a real imbalance of men to women. And according to their halacha, they don't accept, they only accept female converts. They don't accept male converts. And which, well, I mean, it might be, I don't know. It wasn't clear. It wasn't clear on the origin of this, but, and there's this really weird, there's this really weird thing. So what do they do? Where do young, it's, and you understand, it's of absolute importance that they all find brides.
Right.
Because when you have a community that's so small, only 800 people, and when you have a nation that is only 800 people, every birth is olam umloa. So they have these, they do mail order brides from Ukraine. Something, I don't know, they're very interested in Ukrainian women.
Well, they're beautiful.
And women are interested in getting out of Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
So in this documentary, they had a few of these women. The whole thing was, if you have a chance to see this movie, it was very interesting.
They have also a much higher rate of children with birth defects because of...
I don't know. They didn't mention that in the movie. They didn't mention that. But they have this other thing that they have this, there's a word for it in, you know, they have like their own language, which is a kind of mishmash of Hebrew and Arabic and all types of other slang words. I forget what the word was. Well, basically reciprocal marriages. I thought of Arshir while watching this. I have a daughter. I have a beautiful daughter. Meaning if I'm Mr. Shomroni. So she's going to be very, you know, for every beautiful daughter, for even every average looking daughter, there are no end to suitors. Because even though some families will marry the Ukrainian convert girl, the Frumer families are, there is a certain prejudice against it. People, all things being equal, prefer to marry a native born Shomroni girl. Someone with Ichus, I guess. You want to marry your son to my daughter. Well, I also have a son. I will agree only to let your son marry my daughter if your daughter will marry my son. So there are a lot of these brother and sister marry brother and sister, or even two families where you have like three siblings who marry three siblings from the other side.
My sister married my wife's brother.
Your sister married your wife's brother. Right? So your in-laws were double in-laws. Hope they got along the first time.
Easy wedding list, and my sister is now my sister-in-law.
It means all of the first cousins share the same grandparents.
Well, they didn't have kids, but yeah, theoretically.
Okay, so anyway, the father says, I want our daughter to marry someone from my side of the family. And the mother says, I want someone to marry someone from my side of the family. So again, pretend you have it. How do you think the story is going to end?
I assume that the wife is going to marry
you assume correctly. The wife's going to get her way. So, kafte ad omar la teave. She nagged him. She forced him until he said, whatever you want, dear. Lekreva, right? Adaachli v'shate, ata kreve, be'igra v'kadsha. And by the time they were done eating and drinking, one of his relatives came, and up on the roof where nobody was looking, he was Mekadesh the girl. Chapterain.
She's a ktana.
Right? While they were waiting for the party to get started. In other words, they had arranged the wedding. Right?
This is almost like Fiddler on the Roof. Yeah.
It's almost like Fiddler on the Roof.
They had arranged with
oh, except, yeah. With, well, you except except with the Laser Wolf the Butcher, right.
And then,
well, except it's not exactly because Golda wanted Laser Wolf.
No.
Yes, Golda wanted Laser Wolf the Butcher because she never go hungry.
She had money, right?
But she better. He had cows. She wouldn't go hungry. And it was the daughter that didn't want to marry Laser Wolf the Butcher because he was like 107 years old and she was a young girl. And she wanted to marry the tailor Mutl Kamsoil.
That's very, very fortunate.
Right. But right, so there the problem was that Tevye had to come up with a cockamamie excuse why Golda would agree to cancel the shidduch with Laser Wolf the Butcher. So Grandma Zeitel had to come from the next world in order to tell them.
You know that story.
What is this I hear about your daughter marrying my husband? So no. In other words, it's right. It's Grandma Zeitel comes to right, and then Frumacera, the ghost, the dead wife. Yeah, okay. Next, we could have a musical. And next, when we finish the Masechta, instead of going to Fishko, we'll put on a musical. So they're getting ready for a party. And some of cups around and married at the wedding, right? At the wedding, you know, like you've seen 1,000 movies where the pastor says, "If anyone objects to this union of this man and this woman, speak now if ever hold the peace." So somebody asks, "Why don't they do that at a Jewish wedding?" It's because at a Jewish wedding, there'd always be somebody who stands up and says, "Ah, rah, rah." Nobody would ever get married.
Chances are, it'd be one of the parents. One of the
parents, one of the whatever. So they agree. The girl's going to marry someone from the mother's side. They make the wedding, right, at the Kabbalah's Ponim, over in a corner where nobody's looking. One of his relatives comes and is Mekadesh the girl right then and there. So what? How do we look at that? How do we look at that? Why is it good? No, she's a ktana. She's a ktana.
She's
a ktana. Yeah, but again, it's a case of a ktana accepting kedusha without her father's knowledge. Wait a second. But what do we know about the father?
He would have wanted.
The father Taka preferred. He was on record saying that his real preference was she should marry somebody from my side, right? So what do we say? So how do we look at this? So here there's a reason to be choshesh. And as we're looking for the case, we're on the hunt for the case, right? So there's reason to be choshesh that in his heart, the father is glad, right?
Again, I'm still wondering what we just discussed about. Like it seems like it's like,
a little more.
The father can decide, as much as the wife might nag him, the father gets to decide who she marries. It's the father's right in this case.
Right, so the question is,
No,
but it's not just okay. In other words, if he's nitratze believe, right, if in his heart he's saying, yes, that's good. So maybe that retroactively means that that act goes from being something inconsequential.
We only can know what he says. That's like we talked about that case that was from tradition.
But again, here's the situation. An act is performed. It's an abnormal act. Because a daughter, it's an unnatural act. It's an abnormal. It's not. There's the situation of Kedushe Ketana, even in the quote unquote normal form of Kedushe Ketana, is itself unusual and unnatural and abnormal. But this is even more so, because in the quote unquote normal case, there's an 11 and a half year old girl. And the father accepts kiddushin on her behalf, even if she doesn't know about it, she's married, as distasteful as that is to us today. But here, an 11 and a half year old girl goes and accepts Kiddushin on her own without her father's knowledge. So normally we would say that is a meaningless halachic act, except in certain cases. If there's reason to think the father would be in favor of this, right? If we think there's, so then we say maybe it does have significance.
Here.
And that, what's the nafkamina? If it had any significance at all, does she need a get to get out of the marriage? Is he now forbidden from marrying her older sister or her younger sister when she comes of age? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Those are the nafkaminas. So in this case, the father is on record as saying, I would prefer her to marry somebody from my family. The wife nags and says, no, she has to marry somebody from my family. He says, yes, dear, whatever you want. And then at the wedding, at the reception of the wedding, to somebody from her side of the family, somebody from his side of the family comes and is Mekadesh the girl on the side without the father's knowledge. So can you really say that the father isn't thinking that, oh, taket's a good thing? In which case we say maybe we at least have to be chosesh. We have to suspect that there is some halachic reality to the act that was done, in which case she would need a get in order to marry the person from the other side. He would be forbidden to, right? Maybe if the relative from the other side is a Kohen, this causes problems, meaning the person that she was supposed to marry. So what do we say? How do we evaluate this case? No. So Gemara says, Omar Abaye, K'tiv, it's a posuk in Tzfanya, She'erit Yisrael lo ya'asu avla lo yidabru chazav. The remnant of Israel, the Jewish people, do not perform acts of avla, acts of wickedness, and they do not speak falsely. Do you have any evidence to the contrary?
Bernie
Madoff.
John,
you don't bring a raya from Bernie Madoff, right? No, the chazaka is people keep their word. The husband said she's going to marry somebody from mom's side. So then that was his commitment.
The human mind is so complicated. You invite lots of trouble if you say he did approve. Chances are like he did and he didn't. I mean, how do you nail something like that?
So that's exactly the point. This is how you establish the chazaka. Do you, given that the human mind and heart are complicated things, right? How do we evaluate in total?
By the actions and the
words, right? Do we say, he said this, generally speaking, people keep their word. We presume that his real intention was to marry her off to the maternal relative, and not the. And even though he had once said one thing, his commitments were so. We assume. So this is a reason. This is a chazaka to say that that act was meaningless, and the intended couple can now get married. And then the Gemara says, no, there's another chazaka. Rava, that was Abaye. Rava says, Rava Amar, Chazaka ein Adam Toreach Besuda Umafsida. No, he already paid for the wedding to this relative, right? He's not going to get his deposit back, right? So in other words, he's not going to be Nitratzeh Belev. He's not going to say, oh, I got what I wanted anyway, if it's going to cost me. Like I said, you've all made weddings. Right? So you're not going to throw it away. So in other words, whether it's because of a commitment to the truth and keeping your word, or it's because you have some kind of financial interest, that's the machlokas between Rav and Abaye. Nevertheless, we say that the act that was done in the corner or up on the roof is halachically, it's halachically meaningless. Now, of course, sometimes this is exactly what the posek is looking for. Right? The posek looks for the rationale, the human rationale, the psychological rationale, which serves as the basis to explain why it can't have been, why the perverted scenario can't be allowed to. So my benaihu, what's the nafkamina between these two rationales? Ika benaihu, Adilotarach.
He didn't invest in the
wedding. He didn't have to. The other side was rich, right? You ever, did that ever happen to you?
But the other side was rich.
Yeah. Oh, you should try it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know it for myself, but but like the idea that like you marry, you know, your kid marries somebody, whatever, and they say, no, it's all on us. You don't have to worry. You know, just please show up and comb your hair.
I've heard of that case.
Yeah, it's probably a two-edged sword.
Yes, absolutely.
But but that's nafkamina. If the father hadn't paid for the wedding, or if this was taking place not, you know, they were just having some kichel in the backyard or something. So then, we're not sure.
I have a question that goes back to what I asked earlier. It's sort of a clarification. I think there's a help understanding what's going on generally in these situations. I asked why don't they ask the father? But maybe is that not relevant because we don't need to know. I keep saying why don't they ask the father what he was thinking, whether he was mitzvah or not. But are we basically not worrying about the father later can't say I was not because say retroactively we cancel it, right? It depends. There was a condition, and we want to know at that moment did it count?
Was there
later the father could say, you know, it doesn't matter what the father would have said, did say before. It only matters what he was most likely to have.
Whether or not exactly that's what I'm trying to say. Whether or not there was a chashash that maybe
what the father says an hour later is relevant because we have to right. The condition right. The father didn't start. It's not only correct. What he can't retroactively endorse.
Correct. Anyway, so I brought the Igros Moshe because these questions of making a shuliach without somebody knowing. Right, engaging in an act because you're thinking you're doing it. So anyway, so there's a tshuva here, and maybe we'll get to this next week in Rav Moshe. So again, we will have shiur next week, the week before Tisha B'Av, and then 2 weeks after that, there's no shiur. Okay. Nice to see all of you. Some of you online, I think, are new, or at least I don't recognize your names. So you can just WhatsApp me, or you can. Email me, let me know who you are, where you're from. Nice to see you all.
Thank you.
I think I got another one also for you.